right, let's go to Psalms 126 and 6 off. Say what's on my heart, and then we'll get out of the way. I've been getting helped in the revival. Thank God. I love when my heart is pricked, and I'm a shouter. But I love to cry and just bawl and dig in an altar, and I don't care whether people pray for me or don't. Sometimes I felt myself, I'd just soon they leave me alone, let me just have a good cry and cleanse my heart. So I've been leaving some people alone when I see them in those shapes. I thought I don't want to hinder them, so I back off. I just tell them, you pray till you're done and just get a hold of God and tell Him all about it. And I just back off and pray for them from afar. So they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. In verse 5 of 126 in Psalms, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I love white corn. 2 weeks ago, I got a grocery store I deliver to, a little produce market and a butcher shop combination. And I always buy his 10-cent bananas. He's got fruit that's getting pretty ripe. He'll sell everything for 10 cents. And we've been loading up on stuff like that. And he was putting out white corn. He was putting out corn. I said, is that white corn? He was shucking it. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, it's white corn, three for a dollar. So I bought $3 worth and called Norma and told her what I was bringing home so she could have some other stuff to go with it. But she got home and she tried to cook it right. And we never could get the stuff to really soften up. And I've talked to some sisters here the other night, and they think it may have just too early yet. And Brother Mike, I ate that stuff. And, you know, I wanted it to taste good, and I wanted it to be good, but it was just plucked too early. And there'll be a time later in this summer that I'll get some good white corn. It might even be given to me, like the lady down in Kentucky that grows it. Man, I love that. In fact, I had Norma go out and get me some corn today, and she got some. But I love that, Mike. But somewhere, somebody down south planted that corn. And when they planted it, Mike, they planted expecting to receive some corn. And somebody got a little bit anxious and wanted to get it to market, and they plucked that corn a little bit too early, and they knew that somewhere up here there's going to be some people that's in this part of the country wanting some corn, and somebody like me had come along and buy it, and maybe buy it a little bit early. But we went ahead, and I began to think about sometimes, you know the story, how he says it himself, and I tell him about it, we laugh, but Joey Hyatt told me I wouldn't make it. He gave up on me, said he didn't think I'd make it. And I guess if I look back now at the way I was then, I was up, then I was down. I was up, then I was down. My brother took off and left me. But, you know, there was some seed that got planted in there, Brother Rich, and God just didn't give up on me. There were some preachers. Brother Joey Hyatt, he says it in love. He tells them when he sees me down in at homecomings and stuff. He had a packed house down there at Alan Pascarella's homecoming. Me and Norma come in. We was pastoring down in Kentucky, and they had us to sing. And he got out preaching. He said, you see that preacher back there? He said, I told him before he ever began preaching, I was his youth leader, and I told him one night to shut up. I was there preaching. Said later I became his youth leader, and said he came to me and told me, and I did tell him. I said, I don't know if I'm going to like you or not. I said, when you was preaching that revival, you told me to be quiet back there, and I was with a bunch of people. And what it was, I had that country singer, Cindy, I had her in church, and she was Baptist, and I was trying to explain to her that they was giving an altar call, and if she wanted to pray, but Brother Hyatt called me down, and I just was honest with him. I was right back there in his trailer, and he had just come into this area, and I said, I didn't know if I was going to like you or not, but you know, I went on telling him that I did like him, but he's never let me live that down, and he told me this. He said, I never thought you'd make it, Mike. And he was down in Neosho, Missouri, and had me in his car, and he was down there preaching and took me to the store, and he was telling me all this. But you know, I guess if I was to look back and look at myself, Mike, I'd give up on myself. I really would have. But there was some seed that was being planted there that I didn't even realize that God would eventually, they would just take hold and root down and get a hold of my life and change my life. I wanted that white corn to be good. I wanted that white corn to taste like Sister Sheila Staggs grew it. And I wanted it to taste sweet a couple weeks ago. But as much as we tried, it was just picked too early. As much as we tried, it just wouldn't. We tried to cook it right. I told Norma, I said, I got a good idea. She had already boiled the stuff about half to death. I said, I got a good idea. Take that corn, put it in the microwave for a little bit. That's got to soften it up. But as much as I tried, I had the butter melted on there, but it still crunched 28 on it, Brother Mike. And I want to tell you, we sometimes will look at people and we'll say, they'll never do it. They'll never come around. They'll never make it. I've been guilty myself. And I had to tell God, Lord, let us plant something there. Let us say something there. Let us say something. Do something. Show our actions to be right. Walk it before Him. Talk it before Him. Live it before Him. Let us plant something. It may be years down the road, but let us see that seed take hold. There's a lot of young boys that just got saved in Greg Atkins Revival that God's been helping, God's been using. And man, I'm saying, man, rise a preacher up out of them, use them, let them rise up and do something for God. But don't ever let me get this in a situation, Josh, where I try to push you and expect too much out of you, Ryan. Just let me hold back and say, God, in your divine time, in your direction, God, lead them along and let me be their voice. I want to pray for you. I want to see you do good. Just like they done me when I was your age. There was those then that when I would gave up on myself, when preachers would have gave up on me. There was those older brothers and sisters that they said, God help Brother Mike. Help him, son. Help that boy, God, to get grounded and rooted in the truth. Right. And to make his mind up that he'll go on for God. All right. And that was all done in silence, Mike. That was all done in closets of prayer. Yeah, there was them older saints here. I became very close to Brother and Sister Jess Tillman. In fact, right after I got saved, and everybody that would come through that had a young daughter, Sister Tillman would say, that's God's will for you. Oh, they're precious. They was precious. Everybody she seen, she was wanting me to ask them out, and she had talked to me and encouraged me. But I look back now, I needed that encouragement. I was just so unstable, man. I was so unstable, and she would come along and she wouldn't browbeat me, and she wouldn't say, man, when are you ever going to straighten up? But you know, she would just talk to me and encourage me. And, in fact, she was the one when I was praying for a Bible, I really thought I'd just take my money and go buy one. I said a simple little prayer about a Bible. And I no more got to church at night, and she come walking over to me. Her and Brother Tillman had a big old thing in the front of the Bible. They'd wrote about me, how they appreciated me and had the date there, and said, we're giving you this Bible because you gave your life to the Lord. But she said, I got a Bible I want to give you. And I said, I was just praying about a Bible. And that tickled her so much. And you know, I still got that Bible. I just about wore the cover off that thing. The cover's barely held on. That thing's wore out. But I wouldn't take $500. I wouldn't take $1,000 for it. It's in my bookshelf now. And watch what I'll pull it out. I've got so many tracks in that thing. I've got so many notes. I've got so many reminders where God has spoke to me. I wouldn't take nothing for it. And I want to tell you, we need to encourage one another. We're bearing precious seed. Why did God say precious? Why did He say precious? I'll tell you why He said precious. Because we're talking about lives. We're talking about souls. It's the most precious thing, Mike. More precious than silver and gold. We're talking about something that's eternal. We're talking about something that's precious. I'm telling you, everybody, I've got two young girls. Oh, they're precious. My Becca just about prayed through to the Holy Ghost at youth camp. You don't think that excited me? I'm telling you, that's precious. That's precious. I'm telling you, we've got precious seed. And I want to see God rise up and let it... Let them be fruitful. Let them be in the God's garden. I want to see fruit come forth. I want to see them bearing fruit. I want to see them doing a work for God. Nobody but the devil wants to see you fall.
I called one of my fishing buddies today. I said, this is your fishing buddy from Kentucky. He said, I don't know who the H you are. I said, yes, you do. I said, I sold potato chips. He said, Mike, where you been? I said, we're back up here in Ohio now. We've been thinking about you. We've been wanting to stop by and see you. And I just felt like calling you. We're in a great revival. I'd like to see you. I was supposed to go fishing with him Friday night after church. I hope and pray they're precious. They used to be a part of this church. They're precious in God's sight. They're precious in my sight. I'm wanting some seed to be planted there that God might be able to do work once again in their life. You know, people say, oh, you'll run them off. You'll run them off. No, if you got love, you won't run them off. Man, Brother Micah. You want to know who's encouraged me the most and who's ridiculed me the most? I got my arm around him right now. He's knocked me some hard loops for the good. He's knocked some clods off me for the good. He's helped me. But there's been times when I was so low that I called him from Kentucky. I called you all crying one night, didn't I, Sister Helen? And I mean, I just about had it. I mean, you give everything you can and you do everything, you give all your time, and then some of those people that you're doing everything for, they slap it right back in your face, and you think, what in the world? You're not even appreciated around here. And you got to call somebody to say, I need you to pray with me. And you know what? God just helped me to look back on that situation where those had just turned their back on me and slapped me in the face. And I was trying to put some precious seed in them. And God just let me see how precious they was. Just how precious they was. And had a new lookout and outlook on their lives. And oh, I tell you, we need one another. We need one another. We need one another. Oh, what's it say? He said, he that goeth forth and weepeth. I heard that there's a person that's a backslider now. That they fasted days at a time that I would get saved. Days at a time that me and my brother would get saved. She was a young person then. She's backslid now. You don't think that pricks my heart and makes me want to pray for him? Makes me want to say, God, reach out. They sacrificed to see me saved. They seen something in me that I didn't even see. They wanted to see some precious seed be planted in my heart. Makes me want to pray for them. Oh, I want to tell you, I was thinking, I ain't going to preach much longer. I was thinking about those, y'all feel what I feel. I thank God. I beg God not to let me preach tonight. I wanted Mike Allen to preach, but I'm preaching now. And y'all pray for me. Mark tells the story and everybody laughs. Ken Maloney had a pond. We used to build boats and tie a string on it. We'd take a piece of wood, cut a point off of it, and take those ends that we cut the points off and nail them on the end of that. And that became our little fins there. Tap a little nail in the end of that, tie a string on it, and get it from here to that door. And run around that pond as fast as we could. And them boats would skip that water. We played like that all the time. We'd get rubber rafts, get out there on that pond, and have mud clod fights and things like that. We played in that pond all the time. We found a good toy one time. Big old long battleships about that long. But they took batteries. I had a pocket full of money. Ken Maloney and Mark didn't have no money. And I told them we were so excited about that boat I had bought. I said, Dad, take us back down to the store. I said, you guys buy the batteries. I'll buy you each a boat. And Mark says, that's so funny. But I didn't have no fun with them staying on the side while I played with my toy. I didn't have no fun while they didn't get to enjoy nothing. That's the way I am about church. I come and I want to get all I can from God. And I see some people, they sit back and I think, you know, there's enough for everybody. You know, why, you know, come on. If I could pay it for it, I'd pay for it and I'd tell you. But the price has already been paid. And you know, I paid that price to buy my brother and my friend an extra boat. I mean, there's a lot of money back in. But Brother Gary, I didn't have no fun. I mean, with them standing on the side and me playing my toy and having a good time, I've always been like that. I've always been like that. I've got my wife so embarrassed before I'd invite people home. I like to share what I've got. That's what we should do with the gospel. We've got the best thing this world could ever offer. And I don't want to hoard it up. There was four leprous men that sat outside the gate. They said, why stay there until we die? Why stay there until we die? They went into the camp. The Lord put a noise and scared them off. And the prophet had already prophesied it was going to happen like that. And I'm still amazed at the love those leprous men had. They weren't even allowed in the city. And they went right back to the people that had cast them out. They said, we can't keep this all to ourselves. We've got to tell. We've got to share. And you know, I'm going to say, some of the people that have downed me the most, some of the people that would rather see me fall, they don't have no spirituality about them. They've got no discernment of God. They're for themselves. They want therefore no more to go to heaven. But you know, something comes in my heart and I've got to get on the phone. I've got to go see him. I've got to go talk to him. I've got to say, look, I found something that's beautiful. I found something that's blessed, that's satisfied. I was never satisfied in the world. I'd lay my head on the pillow at night after running around all night with my friends and I'd say, I'm not satisfied. My dad said, Mike, you're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. I'm telling you what, I got saved and got old time religion. I got satisfied. My sinner dad said, you're never satisfied. Brother Mike, you can get me an old time Pentecostal meeting. I like the anointing so good. I like the presence of God so good. Mike Allen joked with me I was supposed to preach down in Cincinnati. And I tried to share that pulpit with every one of them preachers that came down there. I guess that's one of my faults. But brothers, Mike ain't got to preach it down. Brothers and sisters, Mike ain't got to sing it down. I just come to church, and if you've got it, just get a hold of it, and I'll bet you, I'll pray for you. I come to get a touch from God. I don't want to hoard this thing. I'm sharing it with everybody. I'm not jealous of this. I want to share it with the whole world. There stood a lady in my yard Saturday. Pentecostal lady. She asked my wife where she went to church. You know, you live it. Look like it. You don't got to wear a badge. They'll ask you where you go. I worked for a guy one time. He wanted me to wear a badge. I said, Jesus is the way. I said, John, I don't have to wear that. I said, they'll know. I said, I don't have to wear that kind of stuff. That's when cares goes and all that junk was just really starting to move. And when we went to Kentucky, the boys that worked at Walmart thought my wife was Amish. So there comes that Amish woman. We're not Amish. We're not Amish. It's holiness. But she asked my wife, said, where y'all go to church? Norma told her. She said, how long has she been saved, Norma? 25, 30, 40 years. So I want to tell you something. I told some of you last night. She said, I was having a nervous breakdown. I couldn't clean the house, couldn't cook, I couldn't do nothing. My nerves was shot. She said, I heard a gospel preacher, Pentecostal preacher, preaching. I was living in Kentucky. She said, when that radio broadcast was over, I went to my bedroom, knelt down and said, God, I've looked for my help all around here and I ain't getting no help and I'm losing my mind. And I got to have some help. She repented of her sins. God saved her and healed her right then. She got up, cooked her husband a supper. He came home and he knew something was different. Susie walked in the door and she told him the story. But what I liked about it, she told my wife, she said, I ain't never turned back since. And I don't know how many, 10, 20, 30 years, 30 years, I think maybe. She's living for God, said, I ain't never turned back. And I think she said she'd even visited this church before. But you know what I begin to think? I've been there before when you preach something or you say something and as soon as you turn around and walk off, I've knocked on doors where they slammed the door in my face. After I knocked on the doors up and down my street, God wasn't done with me. I had to turn the corner at the end of Myers Road and start heading up Old Route 4. And I knocked on the doors all the way up to Keister Road. Some of you know where that's at. And then I turned the corner there and I knocked on some doors on Keister Road. When I was on Old Route 4, I had some boys, some smart aleck young men, slam the door in my face. I tell you, it hurts. It hurts. I was a young Christian. I thought, I ain't doing nothing wrong. I just trying to tell them about the gospel. I was trying to share what I got. I thought, there's a preacher probably that's preaching on the radio. He probably thought, am I doing any good at all coming out here and taking the time every week or every other week, however he preached and preaching. But then to get the testimony of that lady, it makes me think of Brother Brotherford's tape, how he started the tape ministry. When we got down in Kentucky, didn't know nobody. They started asking us about, we finally met some people, and the first ones you meet are a lot of times they're oneness. And then you find out they're oneness, so you know, that ain't who you're looking for. And then we met some people at a church, and we invite them to our house, and he said, do you know Preacher So-and-so? I said, yeah. I said, well, do you know so-and-so? Yeah. Well, do you know David Miller? Yeah, he's preached down here before. I said, we've got the right connection now. And they started pulling out some tapes of Larry Peters. I said, I knew that guy before he ever started preaching. I've been in church. I was in church with him before he ever started preaching. Yeah. Those tapes from this church reached way down in there before me and Norma ever got there. And you know, you try to think back in your mind, you think, man, is the gospel ever reaching out? Is the seeds ever being planted? But that's what makes me excited about going to heaven. We're not going to know until we get there what all's been done, what all's been said. And I'm telling you myself, I've had the experience of myself. Them young twin boys that at that church, Mike Allen, you knew what I'm talking about, those young twins. There was times I thought, man, we're not doing nothing to help them. But Mike, I'm telling you, this is the way God does it to help us preachers. I would be at my lowest times. And Mike, they would come to me and they'd say, Brother Mike, you remember when? You remember this? You remember that? They say, Brother Mike, we love you. Oh, I'm telling you what, it just encouraged you. If I just touch two people, if I just touch one soul, it's worth it all. It's got me determined. It's got me encouraged. Ow! To keep on spreading the seed out. Oh God, I want to tell you why I preached this message. Because for 2 days he has not left me. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious. I'm telling you, this ain't seed. It's precious seed. It's the old time gospel that changed men's hearts, that turns them around.
Acts 21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, After that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want to preach a little while on the foolishness of preaching. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. I've always went to this part. You go over there in 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Sister Collins this morning told a story about Vance Brother Vince Wilson got saved and he couldn't even read his Bible. God taught him how to read, then made him a great preacher. That's what I like. That's the kind of men that touch my heart. When God does the work, God gets the praise for it. You know, verse 28, and base things of the world, the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I like what verse 31 says, that according to it is written, he that glorieth, we're going to do any glorying, let it be done to the glory of the Lord. You know, that he's the one that does it all for us. He's the one that does it all for us. I thought over in 2 Kings 4, and we'll turn over there if you want to with me. 2 Kings chapter 4. I always got hung up on the widow woman with her, the prophet's widow and her sons, and how they had a need to be met. But right after that story, we go into another great message in verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. You know, why does the Bible call her a great woman? Why does he call her a great woman? I'll tell you why. Because she constrained him to eat bread. You know, she just begged him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And I thought, Lord, why is that prophet going by there so much and just stopping now? He's been asked one time, but now it says every time that he passes by, he goes in and he stops to eat bread. You know why he done that? Because he felt welcome there, Brother Pete. He felt welcome there. You know, I like going over to Brother Pete's house. I don't have to call ahead. Some places I call ahead, Brother Ronnie, because I don't want to make him embarrassed. I want him to know that I'm on my way. But some places you can just go anytime, day or night. You feel welcome. And I've had friends of mine like that. Rocky Kirk stayed with us for about 11 days one time. I told Rocky, I said, I hope you feel welcome here. You know, you can tell somebody to go ahead, go to the refrigerator as much as you want. Make yourself at home. But they can sense it whether you really mean it or not. They can sense it whether they really feel welcome or not. You can tell whether somebody's serious or not. And I thought, Lord, you know what I want? I've been to churches here visiting not too long, not too many places, but we was in a place down in Kentucky, and we went in as a stranger, and we left as a stranger. They let us know we was a stranger. They let us know we was in on their territory, and I heard things about that church, and I was coming out of Tennessee, and I would be too late to go somewhere else, and I'd be too late to get back up here. So it was 3 o'clock, and I told my wife, I said, let's get a room, let's get a hold of that preacher and ask him what time service starts, and let's go by and see him. And maybe there'd been some trouble in the church. I don't know what was going on, but I'll tell you one thing. I was a stranger, and I went into their house, and I left as a stranger. And that quickened my heart. I said, God, you know what I want to watch is I watch young people, and I watch visitors come into this church. I tried to make them feel welcome, but it reminded me once again that when I see people like that, it caused me to want to go out of my way. I don't want nobody to be accused of coming to this church and feeling like a stranger. I worked for a man that for a long time begged me and begged me to come out to his church. He goes to a Baptist church pretty close to here. He begged me to come out to that church. And they were in revival one night. And I finally said, all right, we'll go. We'll go. We'll go. We'll be there. Well, I thought, well, that is a small church. So I took my harmonicas with me. Nobody shook my hand. The hands that I shook was the hands that I shook my hand out there to shake. Nobody come out of the way to see me. Nobody made us feel welcome. And I heard that one man played the harmonicas, and I went up to him, tried to make conversation with him. And I can tell you the reason their church is as small as they are today, even though they're Baptist. I can tell you the reason they're in the shape they are today. They want their floor, and they want no more. That's all they want. That's all they're concerned about. I'm glad my family's saved. I'm glad my family's had a part in this church. Because of them, I came into this church. But if them older brothers and sisters, Sister Gloria, had made me feel welcome, I'd have got tired after a while just talking to my grandma and my mom and my Aunt Lois and my Aunt Mary Jo. I'd have got tired of that little nucleus. I'm glad we've got brothers and sisters that are not blood relation, but our brother Lord, brothers and sisters. I'm glad I've got a church family. I told Norma, I said, even though we're evangelizing, every time I'm not somewhere scheduled, every time I'm in this area, I don't want to be called just a parasite. I don't want to be just somebody that just floats around. I want to be here because this is my home. This is my church. I want to see this church grow. I want to see this church.
church continue on. And because of that, I want people to feel welcome. And it's my responsibility to feel welcome. As God began to deal with me on this, and He passed by there because He felt welcome, and He would stop there and eat bread because He felt welcome, I thought, Lord, I appreciate when God brings us by preachers, men of God, that have preached the gospel. I'm welcome for the word they have for me. And I know I done that, Brother Eddie, but I've got a place in my heart. It got so much that he kept coming by there. She had a little conversation with her husband one day, and she said, I perceive this as a man of God. And they decided they was going to fix a little room for him. It wasn't very big, enough for a bed, enough for a table, enough for a candlestick, and enough for a stool. That's all a man had. But I thought, Lord, they took time, Brother Ronnie. They took time to make a place for that preacher to have a place to stay. I want to talk to you spiritually now. You don't want to get saved. Thank God for that. But when God comes by with His message, Brother Jim, do we have a place prepared in our heart for God to let that message rest? For God to let that message rest. I don't know how many times I've told you. It ain't been the shout, and I love the shout. And you can all say amen on that. You know I love the shout. But it ain't been the shout that's kept me. It's been the word of God that I've had in my secret place. When God's come by and preached to me by some messenger of God, I've let that message dwell in my heart. Right. And then when I got talking to God about something, I'm telling you, just like putting a tape in, there's some of them messages, Brother Ronnie, I could play them over my mind. And you know, you think you ain't got that good a memory. But the Holy Ghost will bring back things you didn't even think you heard. And it'll start rolling back. I'm telling you, it's just like a tape recorder. I've played messages. I can take you back, and I've told it 100 times to when Brother Condon had gone preaching. And I hadn't been saved too long. But I begin to realize that there's some things God will talk to me direct. There's some things God will speak to me out of the Word. And there's a lot of times God will talk to me right through the preaching. And I always wanted to take hold. I wanted to have a resting place to come in and enter. Brother Cobbs was gone preaching. It was a Wednesday night. The crowd was small. Brother Monroe Jackson came down from Dryden Road bringing Brother L.D. Moore with him. I had heard a lot about him, but I never got to hear him preach. Man, I was excited when I see him walk in. I think it was Randy leaned over to me and said, there comes Brother L.D. Moore. I said, I'm the prophet here. I've heard about him. I can tell you what he preached on. It's been almost 15 years ago. He preached on We Want One, because they desired a king like the other nations. You know what he told us? He said, get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off the world. You don't have to have them. You don't have to have what they got. You don't have to desire what they got, what they want. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Brother Collins, it's been years since he preached that. But there's things he said that night that I pulled out in my memory, and I could just almost quote them just word for word, things he said. It helped me to get sanctified. It helped me to grow. It helped me to grow stronger. All because I decided to make a place in my heart. You know, we know the story how that when the boy, they made the place, and she looks to him and says, do you have anything need of? And his servant speaks up and says, she has no child and her husband's old. He says, at this time next season, this time next year at this season, you'll have a son. Well, she said, don't make a light. Don't make a joke. And the Bible says, by this next season, she had a child. The child growed, so that tells me some time passed. After some time passed, they were in the field at the time of harvest. They were gathering in the grain and gathering the fruits of the harvest. And the child began to cry about his head. And his father told his servant, said, take him back to his mom. I don't know how big the boy was. I really don't know how big he was. The Bible just says he was grown now. But he crawled up on his mom's lap, sat on her knees till noon, then he died. You know, you would think, well, she would go to somebody else. But the strange thing about it, she didn't lay him on the couch in the living room. She didn't lay him there on her husband's bed. But she took him to the prophet's room. Laid him on the prophet's bed. Laid him there. Laid him there where she had made room for that prophet. Where she had made room for him. She laid him there on that bed.
And then he went and looked for the prophet. And when that prophet servant said, here comes that Shunammite woman. Yeah. And he said, run and talk to her. And here's what I like about it. He goes and asks her some questions. Three things. Everything was well. And then she came up to the prophet. And the prophet said, God hath hid this from us. God has hid this from us. And it let me know God's a personal God. You know, you can listen to tapes. And when I was in Kentucky, I would listen to a lot of tapes and things. But I want to tell you something. It just ain't like being in church. And it just ain't like the personal touch. She ran to get that prophet. She ran to him to get a hold of him, to get his personal touch. And that's what I like about our local pastors. That's what I like about our local preachers. You know what, brother? They preach right to the local body. They don't care about what's going on 100 or 200 miles away. God's speaking to us tonight. If Brother Collins or whoever preaches later, Brother Jim, I'm going to set it there and I'm going to say, God, whatever you've got for me, I'm ready tonight. Because I know God cares about me and God wants to help me. And we know the story that they go back, he sends the staff first and the staff don't work, and later they come along and the prophet goes in and lays on him and the boy's body begins to wax warm. The prophet gets up, walks around the room, goes back and prays again, and this time the boy sneezes seven times, gets healed, and got up and he calls the woman in and stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times and the child opened his eyes. You know, she can look back now and say, I'm thankful I was kind to that preacher. I'm thankful that I was kind to that preacher. I'm thankful that I was being obedient and glad. I liked what Brother Don Rich said. You all kind of listened to me, I guess, kind of quiet. I don't know. But anyway, he said this. He said there's been a lot of people talked about reading the Bible and things, but very few of them been ever saved by reading the Bible. Most of the time it's been by preaching. And I like this in Acts chapter 8. Philip's in a great revival in Samaria. He's in a great revival in Samaria. And he's preaching and he's called by an angel to go down to Gaza. And there's an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot riding along him. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth in humiliation. His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, said as this, who is this prophet speaking about? Himself or some other man? You know what Philip done then, Brother Ronnie? He just got one man. He just got one man. He just got one man. He didn't go out there and get a big Matthew Henry commentary. He didn't go get his Cruz's Concourse and take him on a bunch of scripture runs. It said that the prophet, the Philip, took that scripture from where he was at and he preached Jesus unto him. I'm so thankful for the people that have preached the word. You know what we preach to our neighbors? I told you the story about how me and Norma talked to our neighbors and stuff. You know what we can do? We can preach to them. We can tell them the truth. We can tell them the good news, what God has done for us. Philip preached to that Ethiopian eunuch. That Ethiopian eunuch, they went on down the road. He said, there's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, do you believe? And he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip baptized him. The Spirit of God carried Philip away. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on rejoicing God. I'm so thankful for preachers. I'm so thankful for God has spoke to me. I want to tell you something. I've told you all night long tonight how that God, when I first got saved, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. God, I wasn't asked to do anything. Didn't want to ask me to do anything. But I would go to home. I'd lock myself in the bedroom, especially on Sundays. And I'd pray, God, give us a shouting service. God, give us a godly worship. God, just overflow us, God. Give us a mighty outpouring. I wanted to shout. And that's all I ever wanted to do. I wanted to shout, 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 shout. I prayed for it. And for a time there, every once in a while when God wouldn't answer my prayer, I'd think, oh, you know, I'd sit back. Here comes the preaching. Here comes the preaching. Every once in a while, God would give me some dessert and I'd shout. But I can't tell you one time when God shouted me that I really ever growed. I can tell you about some great places. I've been out there. I stood out there in Neosho, Missouri at their convocation. We were sitting there in the balcony on the left side. I watched those people singing. I think it was Sister Brown. She was singing that song.
going to run. I'm running for my life. And she was singing that song. And I watched the Holy Ghost begin to move on those on the platform. I watched the Holy Ghost. I had never seen it like that before. Move like a wave. But there was a whole packed auditorium. And I watched your brother Setzer as it came off that platform. And I watched the Holy Ghost. I watched a genuine power. I really started looking for a cloud. I felt God so strong. There's been times I've really got an answer from God. And God's blessed me in the shout. But I'll tell you what's kept me. It's been the preaching of the Word. It's been the preaching of the Word. I watched that Holy Ghost come down. And it started going through like a wave, and as it would come over people, they start shouting and praising God. I watched it go down through the congregation that was sitting on the floor. I watched it hop up in the right side of the balcony, and as it started shouting those people, and I watched it, it's just like a wave. I watched it as that power of God moved. I'm telling you, I watched it move all the way across till it got over to me. Then I felt the glory of God, and I shouted, I rejoiced God. We was in a room one time there at OBI. One of the boys was sick. And they called for us to come pray for him. It was about time for lights out. And that boy started, we started praying. He got healed. Some of the other boys heard about it. By the time it was done, we had about 25 boys in that room that night. We were praying for people. I had one boy, you know, we've always been kind of big. I had one boy about Jay's size. I was praying for him. God saved him in his spirit. There he was laying. I was holding on to him because I was shouting myself. There was people falling all over. Chuck Akers was in that room that night. One boy hopped up on a little desk in a little bitty spot about that big. I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about nothing we worked up. God came down in a mighty way. Touched people, healed people, blessed people. I like to tell about it, but I'll tell you what's made me grow. It's been when I've heard Brother Collins, when God started dealing with me on television, when God started dealing with me to give that thing up. You know, he'd been preaching out for a long time. But one night my eyes opened up and I seen the light. And Brother Collins preached and preached and preached. And I just felt it just being laid in my heart. And I went to prayer that night and I tried to make a bargain with God. Told him what I would do. And if he would do this, I'd do that. And I just kind of bargained with him some and, you know, back and forth. And finally God just came on down and helped me to get delivered of the thing. And then later on, I heard Brother Ralph Cox preaching on charity. Heard Brother Ralph Cox preaching on never a man speak like this man. I'm telling you, messages that preached years ago. And those preachers may have walked out here and thought I didn't touch nobody. But I've told some of them before. You may not remember this, but I was there that night. And you spoke right to me. And years later, when I would go to prayer about something, God would bring back what some of the stuff God used you that night. And it touched my heart. And it's kept me. I told him that at Charity Tabernacle. I said, I never got to be in church with Brother Claude Ely, but I've got to hear him preach that message on roadblocks, on God's blockade on a road to hell. Brother Setzer, I wasn't here that night. But I'm telling you, Brother Setzer, just that message, that man of God preaching his heart out, it blessed my soul. It blessed my soul. And I'm so thankful we've got men of God that have preached the truth to us. Alright, some of you have heard it, some of you ain't. Brother Joy, high priest, that message, birds in the house of God. I've never heard nobody comment on it. But you know what I tell him? Brother Joey, that's the message that I was listening to the day that I prayed through to the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. It wasn't even a Holy Ghost message. But you know what? It helped me. It stirred my heart so much. Brother Paul, that I wanted to pray, and because I wanted to pray, God honored that. And because I'd been seeking and fasting, and God knew I wanted the Holy Ghost, God honored that. Then the power of God started falling in my bedroom. Before I got done, I had the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. Yeah, I'm so thankful. It's just not been too long ago that Brother Don Rich preached. He had nothing in his hand. Nothing in his hand. I'm telling you, I thank God now. I say, God, have your way. Have your way. I used to pray, God, give us a shouting service. Now I say, God, I'm coming here. I've prepared a place in my heart. I don't think that I'm anything. I just want to be saved. And if you want to speak to me, even though now I'm a preacher, I want to listen. I want to listen. I want to have a place prepared that it may dwell there. Because we may have to have it later down the road. We all stay in church. We'll all stay saved. But it's when we go outside these doors, that's when our trouble comes. That's when our temptations come. That's when our trials come. It's outside these doors. Oh, glory to God. At Pilgrim's Progress, Christian starts out on his road. as he's leaving the city of destruction.
Yeah.
An evangelist. You know, I just caught that the other day. I've read it before. Brother Collins, who pointed him the way? It was an evangelist. He said, go yonder to Wicket Gate. He said, I can't see it. He said, you see the shining light? Follow after that shining light. That's a preacher that told that man where to go. That's a preacher that told that man what to do. I'm so thankful for the preaching of the cross and to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm so thankful. There's been preachers that's preached to me the truth. Brother Collins is hard. He's hard. Talk to me hard. I was part of that young people's group. I hadn't been saved long. I was really ignorant.
My God.
We just got saved. Our hair was still long. Our young people's group was supposed to go somewhere. Brother Collins said, when you leave and go out from this church, you're representing our church. He said, you're not going to go with your hair long like that. I remember two men, two brothers in the church, two young men.